Now, well, one of the interesting things about the Mormon Church is they have quite a few more ceremonies than other churches. And a lot of them they borrowed from the Masons. Masons have ceremonies very similar to the ceremonies in the temple of the Mormon Church. But their ceremonies is a big drawing power. It's one of the things that really causes them to stay together, have a fairly reasonably low divorce rate because of the ceremony of eternal marriage and everything. But their healing ceremonies is particularly interesting. In a regular church, if you want to get healed, they just get together and say prayer. Maybe they once in a while they may organize a prayer circle or have the congregation pray for a certain individual. Or they just tell the guy, hey, we'll just pray for you or whatever. And, you know, sometimes there's some results, but you don't hear very many stories of spectacular results. But in the Mormon Church, you hear a lot more stories of fairly spectacular healings. And this is largely attributed to their ceremony. And the ceremony of healing in there goes through a number of processes. Number one, they take olive oil and they consecrate it. And so that's the first ceremony. Second thing, they take the olive oil on in the healing ceremony and they anoint the guy's head with oil. And this is kind of from the Bible where it's clear back in the Old Testament times, they anointed people with oil. And then the third part of the ceremony is they insist you have two or more elders. No women involved here, unfortunately. But now in the early Mormon church, women did ceremonial healing. But they decided that women didn't have a place there, so the hierarchy kind of did away with that idea. And
because what would women know about nurturing and healing?
Yeah, right. So they have two elders come in, they lay their hands on a person's head, and one of the elders speaks and gives the blessing. And by the time the person is all through with this ceremony, it seems like, you know, something should be happening, you know. And it makes the person feel like, creates an expectation in the person. Because when you go through the motions of something, going through the motions creates an expectation. And this is what a magician does. He goes through the motions, but the motions are to distract you. So you're looking over here, and the magic is really happening over here. But he's creating the expectation that it's going to happen here. And so it makes you not look to see what everything is happening that's going on that he's doing under the surface. And a magician goes through this ceremony and creates this expectation. And when he goes through it, we're expecting some results. And we see results. And after the magician is done, we think, was that real magic? You know, this guy might be a real magician. You ever seen a magician that made you think that? He was so good. You think, you know, I think this guy is real. I think he really material. I think he really walked on that water. You know,
Angel.
Remember Chris Angel walking on water?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him do that. I thought, boy, is that guy really walking on water?
We think he's real.
Or he walked on the side of a building and he walked over the building and walked on the thin air. Well, that was a pretty good trick.
And the leopard.
You think, boy, is that guy a real magician or not? David Blaine, you wonder the same thing somewhat, you know.
A cell phone inside of a beer bottle, right, at a restaurant? Okay. All right, dude, how do you do that? I mean, really.
He's really magic.
Yeah, he could be.
He's elevated.
Yeah, he's elevated other people.
I'm sure he's got clips on there somewhere. If you just look him up.
Do you think he mastered something, or did he make some agreement
with the Dark Brothers?
I don't know. I've seen about a half a dozen magicians in my life that really make me think that. Now, David Copperfield doesn't do that to me. I look at his, and it seemed like pretty standard magic to me. But, you know, David Blaine and Chris Angel and a couple others, I really wondered, boy, has this guy really mastered magic? Really makes you wonder.
Yeah, when David Blaine levitates, you're like, how does he do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll just stop on the sidewalk and go, come here, I want you. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it could be all stage, but it's a pretty darn good job.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
You didn't mention that. You know, I got to mention this about the priesthood authority.
But the point is, the interesting part is I've been in the church. I was excommunicated from the church. And after I was excommunicated and continued to use different ceremonies, I still got results. The results were no different. So it made me conclude the power is in the ceremony. And of course, the power doesn't come from us as an individual. If a person is cured of cancer or whatever, you know, I don't know how to get rid of the cancer personally. It's just that the energy flows through you. If you see the energy coming from you, then you will be drained. The first time Artie assisted in a healing ceremony, she passed out. And I lifted her up and I says, Artie, what you probably did wrong, you felt you were giving of yourself. I said, don't give of yourself. Let the energy flow through you, not from you. And then when she never passed out again since I told her that. But the very first time she did it, you know, she just put her whole heart into it and she just passed out. You know, it's because she saw the energy. She was under the impression that she was supposed to give of herself. And this is where the problem arises. But when we see the energy flowing through us, then there's an infinite energy. It's completely unlimited. But of ourselves, we have a limited amount. So you can give a little bit of yourself and help, but you must see yourself as a conduit.
In certain practices, like Qigong and stuff, I mean, some of those teach people how to cultivate their qi and store more of it. So some of them might be using more of their personal qi. Or you'll even see martial arts people.
Well, that's true, too.
That can knock people over from 5 feet away.
Just storing it, yeah.
Hold them and push them off. So there's a little bit of both. You know, even Jesus said, of my own self, I can do nothing. That doesn't say that he actually wasn't involved to some degree. It's pretty standard practice that everybody comes along and just goes, well, I'm not doing it. I give all credit to God. And, of course, then they take your credit card, so it's a little bit.
Right.
Part of it's become like the politically correct thing to say, but I'm even for myself, I'm not entirely true. I just know the more you get out of the way, the more that can happen. But
yeah. That's an interesting point about storing energy, because that is true to a point. I don't think very many people understand how to do that, but a handful of people capable of it, that have been trained.
We just watched a thing a couple weeks ago.
Have you ever had any training in that direction?
He touched him, man. I mean, like, he was flipping people over, just moving two fingers when they're like 3 feet away, or people could charge him, and they would just get knocked off their feet, like when they got like about 4 feet from him. Hmm. And so clearly, he's masters of mobility to control personal energy space or to... Well, I mean, I realize, I mean...
I have my doubts about that.
Oh, Artie's got an interesting story about her.
See, I had a guy a couple of years ago. I was up at Sun Valley. There's a 26-year-old Macedonian healer.
Wait.
He wears Eastern Orthodox robes and stuff like that. And from 5 feet behind me, he was behind me. I could just feel my body being rocked back and forth. I saw him do it to a few hundred people. There are definitely people who got mojo.
I want Artie to tell a story about how she took care of her last husband. When you took that class in Tai Chi or whatever, and you threw Bill?
Yeah.
Well, tell it.
Well,
it's interesting. Tell it. Tell people.
But I took a class in Aikido at BSU. I don't know what the big deal is. And, you know, you use their energy, right,
yeah,
as they come towards you, and you assist it. And so I wanted to show, I'm one of these that likes to try everything out right off the bat. And so my husband at the time, he was, you know, a pretty stocky guy for being a contractor and everything, you know. And so we went out in the backyard and I said, here, come at me. And he just came at me and I just did that. But it's like, I didn't feel anything. It's just like it was, and he was over, fell and dislocated his shoulder. And but I didn't feel anything. It's like it just was so cool the way that just flowed. You know, and I got in big trouble when I told the master or whoever they call these Aikido. He said, you're not supposed to practice off-site. I said, wow, I just thought I'd try it.
And the funny thing is, she's not really very strong. She's, you know, not that big of a person, but she threw her big contractor ex-husband